We're talking about a very interesting question this morning about our relationship to Talmud Torah. Let me start by, I guess, 2 points of introduction. The first is that, in general, the question of why one learns or what the goal of Torah is something which you will find a very, very wide range of answers in terms of what exactly, why exactly we learn and what's going on. If you learn Nefesh HaChaim or Reb Chaim Volozhiner, you'll get a certain impression. If you learn the writings of Rav Soloveitchik, maybe you'll get a little bit of a different impression. If you learn the Rambam, a slightly different idea. Different Bali Machshava, Baal Tanya also, different Bali Machshava will talk about the precise function in our relationship to Torah in slightly different ways. All agree that Talmud Torah is very chashuv. That's the Mishnah and Maseches Peah. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. The fact of higisibo yamam v'layla, that a person is supposed to learn morning and night, also tells us something about its chashivas. But the way in which a person is supposed to react to Torah, the way in which a person relates to Torah, / Torah relates to them, is going to be something where you're going to see a bit of a range in terms of Baalei Machshava. So we're going to focus today on the perspectives of two people, the Maharal and Rav Kook. Usually, I think a couple years ago, we had some shiur, we spoke about it in the thought of Rav Chaim Volozhiner and some others, the Maharal and Rav Kook. And I wanted, they have what I would think are really opposite ideas from a certain perspective as far as the impact of Talmud Torah on us. And let me start by making just a bit of an observation. There's a lot of overlap in general between the Maharal and Rav Kook. They are both people that appear to be, I would say this, they're very hard to classify. The Rambam is a pure rationalist. The Arizal is a pure Kabbalist. At least it's a real Mekubal. Both the Maharal and Rav Kook don't write in classic Kabbalistic terminology, but you do seem to get a certain kind of mystical feel that comes from their writings. You do seem to, it's fairly clear that both in many ways are Mekubalim. And again, they're very hard to classify. There's a lot of overlap as far as the content of what Rav Kook and the Maharal tend to emphasize. Certain discussion about Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, you find a lot in their writings. Not only that, in Kol Nevuah, the Nazir, David Cohen is a sefer, Kol Nevuah, so he writes, when he writes about the Maharal, about the Maharal, he writes, Gam Maran Harav Zatzal Ha'emik Hargoz B'Sifri HaMaharal, V'hiras Dvarav B'Orchadot Shachar Mitzion Ya'ir. The Rav Kook writes that Rav Kook learned a lot of Maharal, that he was influenced by the Maharal. He tried to work off of the Maharal's Torah. He writes here in the footnote that Rav Kook, I am a Dabir al Tzorech Limud Upirsum Sifri Maharal B'Doreinu. Rav Kook emphasized that we should publicize and people should be aware of the Maharal's writings. And in Yeshivas Merkas Harav, he writes there also, in a lot of Tzioni places, you're going to see a lot of Limud of Rav Kook, and you're going to see a lot of Limud of Maharal. In many ways, that's very different from what, at least in when I was in YU in the pre-promotion Weinberger days, the nature of YU, there was very, very little Rav Kook. When I was in YU for Shabbos, I referenced a child, Yaakov Shapira, who's Rashiv of Merkas Arav, once came to speak in the YU based Medrash, and he opened up the Sichas Musar by giving a little bit of Musar. I don't think anyone in the room was Makavalit, about how he walked into the Beis Medrash and he was looking for, like, Echad Misifrei Harav. He was looking for one of Rav Kook's Farim, and, like, there's no Rav Kook at all in the Beis Medrash. So I know that then when I was in YU, that's not actually true, that in the bottom shelf under the Mishnayos, in the second level, there were a couple of Rav Kook's Farim that had been there. So technically speaking, we were, you know, Yotzei our Chiyav. But the Maharal also, there was not a lot, at least when I was in YU, as far as what I was hearing, there was not a lot of Maharal, that's quoted, not a lot of Kook. It does represent a bit of a different perspective as far as the world of Machshava. What's interesting, though, is that one does find a bit of... while there are a lot of similarities, so this, as far as the relationship to Torah, I think one does see a fundamental difference. Late last night, I saw someone who wrote an article trying to argue that these differences, he didn't talk about it in context of Talmud Torah, but that these differences represent very different perspectives of the Maharal and of Kook in general, and let's do our best to understand it well. The Maharal, in source number 3 in the Sif HaTorah, writes as follows. Mipnei, the Maharal, part of the question is, so why am I learning, and what's the purpose of learning, and how do I relate to Torah, how does Torah relate to me? So the Maharal writes like this, Mipnei ki haTorah hu haSeichel haElyon, v'kasha liknos haTorah sheHiSeichel haElyon. Torah is a very, very high intellect, and it's very hard to acquire that form of intellect. L'kach tzarech sheYiyeh el haAdam hachana lekabel haTorah ve'ilav kein lo yikabel osa. It's very hard to receive Torah. How is a person able to receive Torah? What do you have to do to be able to receive Torah? It requires a form of preparation because it's an unnatural kind of a connection for man to be able to engage in Talmud Torah. V'achanetz atzarech l'Torah heim dvarim harbei me'od atu ro'oi el ha'Torah. I've mentioned yesterday a little bit that we have to be ro'oi to receive Torah. So what do I have to do to myself to make myself ro'oi to receive Torah? Ki ha'adam hu bal guf. V'ha'Torah hu seichel hi'seichel eloki. L'kach tzarech ha'adam she'e rochok min ha'mido she'im gashmim v'tzarech l'davik b'mida she'sichlis. This is the major, major yesod of the Maharal in regards to Torah. We as people are physical. We as people are gashmi. Torah is purely, it's the ultimate seichel. It's the ultimate intellect. How do you bridge that gap? How are we going to be able, as physical beings in this world, how are we going to be able to approach Torah, which is purely seichel? For the Maharal, the answer of that question is, I have to try to engage in midos that are not physical. I have to try to cultivate certain character traits that make me less physical and more roi to be received seichel. That's the Maharal's general yesod. That's the challenge of Torah. What do I have to do as a result? So the Maharal thinks that one of the midos that makes us least gashmi, that makes us least physical, ikar mida shi sichlis hi ha'anava. That a person who wants to receive Torah has to be an anav. You have to be someone who is humble. Why? What's the svara here? So l'chora, the svara is, the more that you're humble, the more you're saying that you're not so great, the more you're being mivatil, the more I'm minimizing, in a certain sense, my status as a gashmi being. I'm recognizing that it's more about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's less about me. It's not all about me. And therefore, I'm going to have an easier time now receiving Torah. For the Maharal, part of our ultimate challenge, if you want to really receive Torah, it demands that we remove ourselves, in a certain sense, from this world. That we're supposed to be beyond that. We're supposed to strive for a little bit more. Based on that, the Maharal in the Sivat Torah in Perek Gimel explains a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek. Darash of Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, kol hamashchir panav al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, kosh baruch hu mavhik zivo of the olam haba. That a person who is mashchir panav, you make your face dark or black in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shine light on him in the next world. What's pshat in that exact formulation? So we know that the Maharal bases his theories a lot of the time, his understanding, his mahalchim, based on Agadata, and based on a very precise reading of Agadata. And Maharal writes like this, Kol hamashchir panav, what does it mean that a person makes their face black? So the Maharal is a big believer in the significance of numbers, and he talks sometimes about the significance of colors. What is black? The Maharal understands that black is the absence of something. The difference between black and white. White is presence. There's a lot there, and black is the absence of it. The way that some would understand it, the way that the Ramban in many contexts understand it, many people understand it. Choshech, as an example, is the absence of light. Choshech is not a bria bifnei atzmo. It's the absence of light. Not everyone buys that. I think the Gra was bedai yotzer or u vore choshech. There it sounds like choshech is more of a creation. But one of the ideas which seems to emerge here is that darkness, says the Maharal, is something which is something which refers to heder. It's the absence of something. The Ramban thinks in general it's the absence of something, except when it comes to something, let's say, like makas choshech. That's choshech as an independent creation. But often darkness is more the absence of light. It happens to have implications, I believe, of Sternbach in Chuvas Manhagos, when he speaks about what time Shabbos should end in Zmanim issues of being Machmer for Rabbeinu Tam. So I think he tried to explain Rabbeinu Tam's Shita like that also. If you want, just like an interesting aside. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that nighttime starts after the time that it appears to already be dark. Rabbeinu Tam's night starts at a very late time. And some of the Achronim asked the question, Hachush Machesh, that our senses seem to indicate it's very night outside. So I think Sternbach suggests that for Rabbi Yotam, the difference between darkness, the absence of light, and darkness as far as a creation. Darkness, the absence of light, is one thing. Rabbi Yotam understands that when does night really start? Not just when there's no longer light, but when there's darkness as independent creation, whatever it is that means. But the Maharal suggests, Kol HaMashcher Panav means, it's a question of lacking. It's a removal. It's the opposite of or. Kol HaMashcher Atzmo Al Divrei Torah, what does that mean that you're Mashcher Panav, that you're Mashcher Atzmo, that you make yourself dark in this world? Says the Maharal, what that means is, Umesim Gufo Be'olam HaGashmi Ki'ilu Hu Ne'edar Uvilti Nimtza, that you're making your guf as if it's not really existing. You're making your guf as if my guf is not so important. The only thing which is really important is my seichel. You should ask Donnie for a bracha. Is my seichel. Now there's a certain irony in talking about the lack of guf in the morning that most of the yeshivas currently on a tiyul or running in a marathon. But those who are here are clearly not the biggest believers that the cultivation of guf is the most important thing in the world, and therefore we are the ones the Maharal would say are roi lekavel Torah. We'll get to Rav Cook in a second, and then they'll feel better. But that's the Maharal. It's one of the contexts in which he sees it. Now, it happens to be, if you look in Derech Chaim, Maharal's Perish and Pirkei Avos, in Perek Beis Mishneh Hei, so the Maharal, similarly, again, I hope one of the things that we've got this year in Friday's year, aside from just the content, is the sensitivity to reading a Gadata, sensitivity to reading Mishnayos. Mish tells us in the Avos, Huya Omer, Ein bor yarechet v'lo am ha'aretz chasid. A bor, an ignorant person, cannot really fear God, and am ha'aretz cannot be a chasid. The Maharal is bothered that l'chora the word bor and am ha'aretz are really two ways of communicating the same thing, that the person we're talking about is ignorant. Now we have sugyas in Maseches Sota, said by Maseches Brachos, what exactly the definition of am ha'aretz is. But l'chora, both am ha'aretz and bor are descriptions of people who are not knowledgeable in Torah. One of the things that the Maharal points out, the difference between bor and am ha'aretz, Maharal writes, the person who learns actually misses two things. One is that they're missing a certain kind of seichel. They're missing a certain kind of seichel. That's bor. Bor is a sign of emptiness. That there's just something missing there. It's an empty pit. There's nothing there at all. In am ha'aretz, and am ha'aretz does have something. What does he have? Aretz. Now am ha'aretz does have something. He has something which is called physical. He has the guf. But he's an am ha'aretz. His ignorance means that he has his guf, but his guf is empty from chachma. Maharal understands that a person who learns acquires two things, and one who doesn't learn is missing both of those things. Number one, a person who learns just as they acquire chachma. On its own, they acquire chachma. One who doesn't have that chachma, so they are someone who is a boor. A person who learns, though, also is filling their body with chachma. They're taking that which is gashmi, and they're making it more sichli. It's not pure leaving your world, in your body entirely, the way the Maharal sometimes makes it seem. Maharal here writes that a person does have to be a little bit separate, but they have a way, a little bit of elevating their guf. Look at the underlying section here. Not only, again, because we're physical and Torah is sichli, it's not only that, we're also physical and God is sichli. How do you form that connection? Because a couple of times, for the Maharal, how do you build a relationship with God? God is so different than us. God is purely spiritual. God has no guf, and we're defined by a guf. So how does a person achieve dveikus? One of those ways is through Torah. Ki dveikus ha'adam v'yisbarach ha'idei shebo Torah. Ki lula zeh ha'adam hu ba'al guf. Ve'en le ba'al guf ha'gashmi is karvus al-shem yisbarach asher hu nivdal min ha'guf. How do I become closer to Hashem? When I fill myself with Seicha, when I fill myself with Chachma, now I become more like the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'rach ayde ha-Torah, she's sichlis, ayde zeh yesh la'adam kirivel Hashem Yisparach. U'lefikach nechshav mi she'ein bo Chachma v'Torah, shehu rachok min Hashem Yisparach. Someone doesn't have Torah, is somewhat distant. What we've seen so far in the thought of the Maharal is the following idea. The Maharal understands that the purpose of Torah is a way, and the way that a person acquires Torah, Torah allows us to develop more of a relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Torah is something which allows us to bridge that gap. Dveikus, says the Maharal, how do I get closer to Hashem? I get closer to Hashem by learning Torah. It's a way of uniting. The Baal Tanya, the beginning of Tanya, speaks about that from Chaim Vital also, that Torah at its core has the ability to lead a person to a certain kind of dveikus. He thinks there in Tanya, that's the definition of Torah Lishma, at least in that place in his writings, that Torah Lishma is to learn in order to create relationship, to get closer to Ribono Shel Olam, a certain kind of dveikus. The chiddush of the Maharal is that the way that I make myself fit for Torah, why I'm learning to overcome my status as a physical being. I'm learning so I'm not going to be defined by something which is gashmi. I'm learning so that I'm going to be able to fill myself with seichel and develop much more of a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, because otherwise the gap is too large. In order to be able to do that, I have to minimize a little bit my physical self. I have to cultivate certain midos, like the midah of anava, and I can't be so ingrained. I can't be so ingrained in this world. It happens to be, even if you're not a believer in all of some of the machshava behind it, it is as a davar pashut accurate. It's impossible to argue that a person who is a guy who's very much involved in this world, it's not coincidental. You're rarely going to find that person being as successful in Talmud Torah. That a guy who is always involved in, and that's what he's following, and that's what he's interested in, he's more of a gashmi person. That person, I think you're almost never going to find that person going to be anywhere near as successful learning-wise. Some of that could just be because it's a question of distractions. When I'm very much engaged in certain activities, so it's harder for me to focus on Torah, which demands a certain quality and a certain kind of focus. But for the Maharal, it's more than that. That the Torah provides me, as he writes in here in Derech Chaim, with a certain kind of relationship with Hashem. How do I get that relationship with Hashem? By learning and by sort of becoming a little bit less in this world and by raising myself up a little bit and becoming someone who's a little bit more elevated, someone who's at a little bit of a higher level. Rav Kook has a little bit of a different approach. And again, I think it's interesting. I'll start with the Gemara. It's a piece in Einaya. It's not in this version of the sheet. I updated this morning, but I already printed it in the printer. I don't know what was going on this morning. Let's start with the Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Gimel. It's a Lag BaOmer Gemara. And let's try to understand it well. The Gemara tells us that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi, and his son, there was a tekufa of Gezeira. They went to learn in the Beis Medrash for a while, and then it became too dangerous even there. They were nervous what was going to happen, so they went to a cave. And Rashbi is there learning with his son. How long are they in the cave for? 12 years, and then different tekufas. We'll talk about in a second. There were two different stages. But they're sitting there in that cave, and there are miracles that happen. There's a mayan, there's a carob, I believe is the English word for the food that was there, that as kids, that's something we have to eat on Tu B'Shvat as a way of breaking any sense of religious Zionist connection we have to anything. Because if that's what Eretz Yisrael is about, then I want no part of it. It took me a long time before I was able to rectify that. And I don't even know. There must be a way of making that dish more palatable. It is what it is. They were learning there in the Mara. When they're learning there in the Mara, so they're there for years. And as they walk out of that Mara, so they see someone who is working in agriculture. They see someone who is Zoreya and Choresh, etc. Shimon Bar Yochai gives him a literal death stare, I think. They then hear a baskel come out. That this is not why you are... This is not, if you look here, I don't have the sheet, in the Gemara of Masechet Shabbos, what you learn Torah in order to know how to destroy the world properly, they go back into a cave. They're back in the cave for 12 months, I believe. After they're back in the cave, eventually they come out. When they come out, they see an older person there buying Hadassim, Erev Shabbos, two Hadassim. Why are you buying two Hadassim? One connected Zachar, one connected Shamar, and Rashbi feels much, much better. What's pshat in that story? There's a lot to talk about. Rav Kook shares an insight into that story, and it's an insight which I think in many ways, I can't speak with a lot of authority, but definitely in a lot of Rav Kook's writings, tells you a lot about what Torah is supposed to do and why a person is learning. There are two stops that Rashbi has in the Mara, two stops in the cave. The first time that Rashbi is in the cave, and when he leaves, he's dealing with a Torah that is not shayach to this world. It's almost like the Maharal on steroids. Even when Rashbi's in there, the food and the drink, it's all miraculous. It's not normal. When they're learning Torah there, they're not even wearing their clothing. They're just covered up to their necks in afar. They're really like not physical beings the same way while they are there. And when they leave and they see people interacting in this world, they're totally unable to handle that. They can't withstand. How is that possible? It's not something that they are able to really approach and relate to in any sort of a meaningful way. They go back into the Mara. The Gemara compares it to Gehenim. It's a 12-month time period, meaning l'chora, there was something, and there was clearly in the Gemara, something wrong with the way that they were acting. Rav Kook suggests that the major challenge that they had was that they were in the first step, their first time in the Mara, they were learning Torah, but it was a Torah that was removed from this world and a Torah that was unable to handle people in this world. The goal of their learning the second time was to teach them a Torah that was able to impact this world. It was a Torah that was going to teach them how to relate to this world. It was going to be a Torah that was going to show them how to interact with a person who's going to buy two hadassim and erev Shabbos, echad keneged zachar, echad keneged shomer, and that's going to be nesiyah shev daita, and that's going to make them feel much better. A Torah that they can really sort of interact with the world in a much more meaningful way. Rav Yaakovson and I think Rav Ganz are very fond of a pshat that they ask a stira, that we've shown them ask a stira already in Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Hey, Rav Shimon says that a person should learn Torah all the time. If you're Chorei B'Shas Harisha, you're Zareya B'Shas Zriya, Torah Matahei Aleha, a person should not engage in Parnas, a person should only work. He's learn all the time. The Gemara Menachos and Tzadi Tes, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that even if you just say Kriyash Mashachris and Arvis, that suffices. What's Pshat? If you learn all the time or Kriyash Mashachris and Arvis, so Pshat that they are fond of is Kan Lifnei Hamara and Kan La'achar Hamara. Before Rav Shimon, in his first time in the cave, Rav Shimon was of the opinion you have to just learn Torah all day. By some Achronim explained, that's why when he left the cave, he couldn't handle a person who was working in the field. Because he held, if you work in the field, Torah Matahei Aleha, and he couldn't handle it. After he went back into the cave a second time, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a different perspective in the world. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a different understanding as to what people's Tafkidim really were. And then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is able to look at it, and he's able to say, even Kriyat Mashachas V'Arvis, for some people, that's really something which is appropriate. Some people, that's something which a person can really handle. That's why some suggest on a Lag BaOmer insight, it's not time of the year right now, but it's an important insight in Lag BaOmer. That's why is it, if you have to be a little bit of a, have some Kabbalistic or Neo-Hasidic leanings for what I'm about to say right now, but, you know, some of us do, and some of us that don't are in Masada right now. I guess it's the kind of person who would go to Masada. So, why is it that Meiron and Lag BaOmer is such a popular place for all different members of Klal Yisrael? Why is Meiron such a popular place where people who are from and not from and Chassidim and Ashkenazim and Sfaradim and everyone wants to come to Ashkenazim and Chassidim are actually the same, but we'll be okay. You'll unpackage that later. There are Ashkenazim who are not Chassidim. Just Chassidim are often Ashkenazim. Why are they all there? So part of the pull is because of that breath of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and in many ways, potentially, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai post-cave. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that understood that there could be a world of ambitious Talmud Torah, and there could also be a world where each person finding their own unique tafkid in a Torah that relates to this world. Rav Kook writes in Oris HaTorah, in Torah Lishma, he writes, "K'se'osek b'Torah, b'dvarim p'shutim, yira eich yered ha'or ha'elyon b'tzur nifla'a, ash nisyashif kol kach yafeh b'olam ha'maisa." A person who learns Torah well, in a solid, straight, good way, says Rav Kook, they're going to see how the light of Torah is able to interact beautifully and influence powerfully all the things that occur, b'olam ha'maisa. For the Maharal, Torah is about, part of our avodah in Torah, part of why we're learning, is to learn how to move beyond this world and interact with Ribbono Shel'olam. For Rav Kook, and there's a lot in the writings of the Maharal about Torah Lishma, a lot in the writings of Rav Kook about Torah Lishma. We're highlighting one facet of it. For Rav Kook, part of why we're learning is not to learn how to leave this world and elevate ourselves up, but to learn how to move up and bring it back down. To learn how to take a Torah and have that Torah impact the way that we live in this world and the way that we perceive things in this world. Rav Kook was a huge believer in that. Rav Kook was someone who was looking at a lot of the developments of what's going on in this world and arguing that the goal of Torah is to learn how to shed light on all of those things. For Rav Kook, it's even those things in this world that don't seem as holy. So for Rav Kook, what that means is I can look at things that are not so kaddish. I can look at secular Zionism. I can look at communism and socialism. I can look at a lot of different movements that at its core don't appear to be holy. And Rav Kook understands that part of Torah was taking this Torah up there and learning how to infuse that into this world and learning how to elevate things in this world and learning how to purify things in this world. Rav Kook writes, that's part of what Torah Lishma is. Iker Torah Lishma, I Efshar Lavo, the next piece there in Ozayin, Ki Yamal Yedei Hechsher Zesha, Vanavar Gasha Haba Ima, What is Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma is a major machlokas in different Rishonim and Achronim, what Torah Lishma is. Rashi writes in Maseches Tainis and Daf Zayin, Kasher Tivani Hashem Elokai, I learn Torah so I can, because Hashem commanded me to learn Torah. Nechachayim, right, based on Rashi Maseches Nedarim, is learning Torah Lishem Torah. Rav Kook quotes that also in his piece in Torah Lishma. It's Torah Lishma to learn Torah, understand the Sugya as well as possible. So the Baal Tanya reference earlier, learning Torah Lishma is Torah in a kind of Dveikas. One element of Torah Lishma is that when you start learning Torah, and this is a very different idea than what you would find potentially in the Maharal, that what you have in Rav Kook is one element of Torah Lishma. The only way you can have Iker Lima Torah Lishma is if you really believe that the light of Torah can fill this entire world. That the light of Torah can shed light on every certain, all the small details that exist in this world. I don't learn to remove myself from this world. I learn how to thrive in this world. And that is something which is enormously, enormously powerful. Rav Kook does add something, a bit of a knach, which I think is very important. Rav Kook writes, we spoke about this week in the Rav Kook Shiur on Wednesday morning in the Midah of Kas. The Gemara in Tainis describes a rischa d'oraisa. There is a certain anger that a person gets sometimes as a result or connected to their Torah learning. Rav Kook is sensitive to the fact, one of the guys showed me there, Rav Gidon quoted a piece in Arsa Kodesh and Chilak Dalet, Amit HaZayin, about his Mechama Pnimis. There is a certain, when a person's really engaged in Talmud Torah, Rav Kook is aware of the fact, it's very, very hard. And again, the challenge for the Maharal Mahalach is different than the challenge for Rav Kook's Mahalach. If the reason why I learned for the Maharal, part of the goal of learning for Maharal is removing myself from this world, the challenge for the Maharal is in that process of becoming less Gashmi. We're naturally more Gashmi, and it demands breaking away a little bit from what you are naturally. For the Maharal, that demands the cultivation of the Midah of Anava. It demands being Mashchir Panav B'Olam Hazeh, trying to not be as connected to this world. You know, 15 years ago in Yeshivat Shalvim, that was a little bit easier. Think about the old dorms. Think about, you know, the food was even worse, you know, which is demands a degree of creativity. The lack of technology, the lack of proximity to Modi'in, and things like that. There was a removal from this world, and that's hard. It's very, very hard. There's something very healthy and something very nice about the fact that even though obviously it's always a struggle being in a foreign country, that it's not that same kind of a struggle, and the accommodations are nicer, and that there's more of an opportunity to feel like you don't have to sacrifice as much, although certainly a bit. But there's something different when you're in a beautiful dorm and you're in a nice campus and there, whatever it is. But for the Maharal, the challenge is overcoming that. The challenge is overcoming too much physical in order to be able to be more successful. I remember getting that question before they built the new dorm. They had guys saying that, like, well, people learn less in the base measures as a result. Because in the old dorm, like you just didn't want to stay there because you would be nervous, you'd be growing like a third arm. When you're talking about, like, you know, especially, you know, as it really, like, mamish fell apart. When it comes to, like, when it comes to now, so I don't, it's, there is the same. So, Baruch Hashem, we've overcome that, but that's a bit of a struggle to overcome that. And that's a struggle for the Maharal. For Rav Kook, the struggle is something else. And this explains in a couple of places. One of them, again, from that piece in Midot HaRa'ya about Kas. For Rav Kook, the struggle is, when you're really passionate about Torah and you're on fire about Torah, and in a certain sense, Torah is an upper world thing. The struggle for the Maharal is taking me from here and raising me up. The struggle for Rav Kook is taking Torah that's up and bringing it back down. That if part of why I learn is to show how the Torah can shed light and the Torah can impact everything in this world, the Torah is a different world with Torah. It allows me to perceive things differently. It allows me to elevate things in this world. That's where the challenge comes. That's where Kook writes is that Gemara Maseches Tainis of Rischa D'Oraisa, of an anger that comes with learning, that when a person has to make that point of transition from upper down, I've been learning a lot, and now, let's take it this way, I've been learning a lot in yeshiva, and I don't have to be as involved in physical things as much. My food is taken care of, and my laundry is taken care of, and I have the opportunity to focus a bit more on learning, and now I'm going to be going home, for many of us, I'm going to be going home for Pesach, and now I have to engage in the physical preparations of cleaning and the physical preparations of preparing food, and we want to do that. Sometimes that transition becomes very, very hard. I want to be up there. I want to deal with the Torah, which is big ideas and purely ruchnius and seicha eloki. And for Rav Kook, so part of what a person has to understand, even though it becomes frustrating, and even though sometimes there's a milchama pnimis, that there's an inner battle and a war that a person has to wage to be able to do it, that there's something significant about being able to make that transition. There's something challenging but important. For Rav Kook, it's not viewed, and this is an important thing, as a stira to my learning. It's not viewed as a contradiction to my learning. For Rav Kook, part of what my learning is doing, part of real Torah Lishma, is to transform me so I'm able to have those interactions in a much more comfortable and much smoother way. That's part of what I'm striving for. It's part of what I'm trying to accomplish. And for Rav Kook, that is definitely something which is very important. So Rav Kook writes in Shmona Kvatzim, there in source number 8 on the sheet, that the extent to which a person who lives a life with Torah, it's a totally different spiritual life. But one of the reasons why it's a different kind of spiritual life is because it's not just that my life when I'm learning is different. My life in everything is different. That's part of what it is for Rav Kook. We tried to speak today, we'll end a little bit earlier. We'll end the same time. We'll just talk a little bit less time. What we've tried to develop today, one of the more important questions relates to our relationship to Torah. And it can be assessed from a variety of different perspectives. When you're like a Shavuos or Simchas Torah time, you're thinking about Kabbalah HaTorah, and you're thinking about a person's relationship to Torah, and especially at the end of Zman, we're talking about a relationship to Torah and its goal and how we connect to it. The Maharal and Rav Kook highlight two, I would say, opposite approaches. For the Maharal, a lot of the goal of learning and a lot of the goal of what we're supposed to do is learn how to elevate, become more than we are, and how to remove ourselves a bit from the physical. The physical, it's like those two pshatim in the Kiyor we spoke about earlier this week in the Machshava and the Parsha. It's about elevating ourselves, the Ebenezer model of no mirrors in the Kiyor, because mirrors in the Kiyor are people that had no Shaychas to Olam Hazeh, and that's the ultimate Maila, is removing ourselves from this world a little bit. And and for Rav Kook, it's about learning how to go up and get Torah from up there and to function in that world, but then it's about bringing it down into the physical world. I'll end with just a thought. In general, it is my contention that these two approaches, a very good and shalem Jew needs to know how to have a little bit of both of these ideas. The highlight, and I think Rav Kook and the Maharal probably both have elements of these ideas, but let's just say it even more clearly. In the Maharal world, a person, I believe, does need to have the ability to know when to become less gashmi, when to become a person that is less involved in physical, and when at times to be able to sacrifice a little bit. If a person has a form of Torah, and they feel like there's never been a degree of mesiras nefesh that's come with that Torah, they feel like they're able to learn and they're giving up nothing, so the Maharal would say that's something, either you're naturally born a tzaddik, you're that nolad mahol, kind of a Jew, but for us, that's not what we're striving for. There has to be a capacity at times to give up something for learning, to become a little bit less gashmi, is something which a person needs at times. The flip side in the world of Rav Kook is that we are physical beings living in the physical world. And part of what we need is the ability to take a Torah and have that Torah impact this world, and have a Torah impact the way we interact with others. I happen to think, I think Rosenzweig suggests that the Moadim, the purpose of the Moadim in general, is to teach us how to, it's certain yesodos that are always important, but to hone in very, very clearly in certain things that a good Jew really needs to have. So Yom Kippur reflects a model which is more of a Maharal type model of leaving this world a little bit and living, being less gashmi. Purim, which we just experienced, is a day which is more gashmi, and the goal there may be more of a Rav Kook model of taking a Torah and making it a little bit more gashmi. As we're shifting a little bit towards Pesach, I think Pesach represents a very healthy model of both of these ideas. Pesach is a time where, on the one hand, there's a little bit less physical, the world of Chametz. Chametz represents the Seorah of Issa, there's Dafka, a certain kind of physical that we have to destroy and eradicate. The Radvaz writes famously in a tshuva that the need to destroy Chametz. Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, and therefore I need to sort of get rid of elements of the physical to be able to approach it, and that's one element of Pesach. Pesach is also, as we referenced last night, the Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, Pesach is also Bizman Hazeh, the only mitzvahs aseh mid'oraisa that involves achila. It's the mitzvah aseh d'oraisa that involves the physical world. It is a time when a person's chayev to engage in certain physical activities. You can't be pious on Pesach and say, I'm not going to eat anything, or I'm only going to eat like a little bit here. You have to have a kezias. Maybe it has to be, you know, if you're really digging, a tzlach Jew, plus, you know, you got to have a lot of kezias, maybe even at night. Maybe not, but maybe yes. And that's something which Pesach represents for us, I think, and even preparing for it, the combining of both of those ideas. A little bit of removal, a little bit of a togetherness. If you do the Ma'arah well and you do Rav Kook well, our relationship to Torah is better, and hopefully our relationship in general to the Ribbono Shel Olam can be all the more powerful. Shkayach, guys, have a wonderful day.